The sign turned around. In the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Egypt. Revelation 11, verse 8. As often as a believer of Scripture considers the place which by the providence of God is allocated to the sign in the way of revelation and faith, he should remember on the one hand that the sign is not a sign for unbelievers, but for believers, and on the other hand, that the sign is not a necessity for these believers to receive a fulfilled existence. As a result of the first, it is clear that he who has not believed the word before the sign came will not in the least be moved to faith by the sign. It is much more likely that he will interpret and illuminate the sign in accordance to his physical and not enlightened eyes. For he indeed does not have the eyes of his mind enlightened. That is, he does not have them in a state of enlightenment, as it actually says. The sign addresses him only as a sign with evangelical effect, who has believed in the God of the Word by that same Word, independent from the sign. Thus the transition is already made visible automatically to what was just mentioned in the second place. If indeed, without the coercion of a sign, faith is worked by the Word alone, then the signs that follow after this can only enrich him more who already was rich. They give him more because he already had. They are to him not the bread of the poor, but the dessert of the rich. He is also able to do without them. God may have given the sign to him in order to strengthen his faith and to stimulate his childlike attention, while at the same time it addressed the unbeliever, who indeed is his stable companion, in the language which he deems appropriate for spiritual conversations, the language of facts, though the unbeliever afterward will still refuse to be obedient. But for him who has believed, and also now has faith, that faith is a power to eternal life. It cannot be taken away from him. And as it is increasing, it will penetrate deeper into the Word, will become more and more adult-like, and therefore needs less and less stimulation, as one beneficially administers to children, also those in Christ, in the time of their pedagogical direction. For it is indeed a sign. And the believer will therefore more and more be able to do without it. Also this is beneficial seriousness with God. We see signs around us. These are the morning greetings. We do not see our signs, not one is left. That is the report of the afternoon. We realize that a sign is turned around, changed into the opposite. That is the evening message. Perhaps, someone will ask, morning, afternoon, and evening in everyone's personal life? But what does Scripture have to do with your compass, which already draws the circles too small? These are the morning, afternoon, and evening of the church, of manhood, of the history of revelation, of the way of my God through the centuries to come, to the return of Christ. For this reason, the sign will become its opposite, when the two witnesses of God, those messengers of the New Testament, will have finished their testimony, Revelation 11, verse 7, in the fullness of days, when they will have brought it to its maturity, to its fulfillment. For those witnesses have always preached that above the law was written with an evangelical pen, Romans 10, verse 6, I am Yahweh, your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And since they knew that this evangelical pen would not rest, since the spirit of the Gospels drove them, they continued to testify and even more richer said, this scripture was fulfilled in our ears in Christ Jesus. In him we have been brought out of the real house of bondage, the fulfilled house of slavery to sin. When they said that, they mentioned by their own mouth, we have the sign, we no longer need the sign. For it had become clear to them that the deliverance from Egypt was first of all a fact of salvation. It was one of those moments of that one way of salvation, which is always the same, which God had opened, laid out, leveled, and made practically available to his covenant congregation. But since Egypt had also become known in the world of nations as the house of service, and because the leading out of Egypt became a pledge and an image, a first impression beside the initial fulfillment, for the church of redemption to come in Christ, this leading out of Egypt also had the power of a sign for both the world and the church together. Thus the sign was placed in full glory, at the place where the revelation people had to pass in the morning. The morning, that is, Moses, the beginnings of the scriptures, the formation of people, the beginning of the evangelical convocation of the people of Israel. Then the sign lost more and more of its luster. The facts indeed maintained their power, also this one fact. For no one, not even God, can make a fact undone. A fact maintains its strength, its particular strength and functioning. But the drawing of the sign was more and more removed from the facts. Egypt soon erased itself again and put other people into bondage, who also were brought out of slavery, from the same house of bondage by the same God, for God is one, Amos 9 verse 7. The sign certainly faded, and soon he, who fulfilled Moses and completed the deliverance, was made a slave to death, indeed to the death of the cross. Jesus Christ was brought into the house of bondage, and the Egyptians came upon him as the terrible rod of the chastiser. That was in Jerusalem, and a gathering of nations saw it and heard about it. And there in Jerusalem were the timid witnesses of the new day. And they knew it. Here was fulfilled what Moses had revealed in the beginning. But we do not see our signs in Jerusalem. Our women are sitting opposite to the grave, and we do not see the approach of the Sabbath. We do not see our own signs. And it had been afternoon. You know it, do you not? The afternoon of the church and her history. And indeed, for they were now in the New Testament again children, just beginning a new age. Indeed, the sign had flourished again for a moment. And there were gifts of the Spirit. And there was a crippled man at the beautiful gate, by which Jesus Christ had passed many months, who was released by messianic strength and put on his way in accordance to prophecy, because the sign had been performed on him of liberated feet and of the leading out of the house of the most bitter slavery, for he had been a beggar, and that even on God's liberated ground. But such signs quickly disappeared, and the road continued without signs. It was the way of the word and faith, until at last the evening came. The evening. There the man of Patmos saw a vision. The final witnesses were driven into the world. The Spirit drove them into that world. There they had work to do. They were as children of the narrow way, put on the broad way. God knew indeed that to be on the broad way does not necessarily mean to be off the broad way. Thus they were already brought into a position which was definitely not a sign. Pilgrims on the narrow way, yet courageous soldiers on the broad way. But there was more that happened to them. They were struck on that broad way, cut off, and, it was all a vision, the slave drivers came upon them roughly and forcefully. All the complainers and squabblers of the last Pharaoh beat them firmly, beat them to death. Where would all of this have taken place before the eyes of the spectator? He does not know the name of that last country and that last metropolis. But he is so certain that the sign is here turns around and around and around again, so that he will call the place that cannot be geographically found, where the beast will soon place his throne, by the name of Egypt. And in that land of Egypt, that house of bondage, he saw fulfilled what had occurred in the afternoon of the world in Jerusalem. The master was brought there into the house of bondage and struck dead. And now, in the evening, his witnesses from the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, were not brought out as far as it concerns the flesh and the eyes. For Egypt was now everywhere, and so was Jerusalem. That is why they could not possibly be geographically each other's opposites any longer as signs. Jerusalem and Egypt, the city of peace and the house of war, Canaan as the land of rest, and the residence of Pharaoh as the house of coercion. They have now both become international entities. That means that the drawings of heaven and hell were no longer separately provided by God to the pilgrims of the Pilgrim's Progress. Geographically, the sign of these ancient, meaningful places are everywhere intermixed. The Antichrist comes via the Red Sea, and the destroyers of the Ark came from across the Jordan. The symbolic sketches of hell and heaven are no longer separately available. Only hell and heaven themselves are really separated. But no eye of any of our contemporaries has ever seen them. Everything is Egypt, and everything is Jerusalem, and everything is Sodom, and Lot will no longer be brought out of Sodom. He can only believe that fire and sulfur will reign there. But as far as the sign is concerned, his body stays in Sodom and is kicked around. Everywhere is Sodom. What should Lot complain about? This is the consequence of the internationalizing of Zoar. Sodom is everywhere, and Lot is not allowed to leave. That is the consequence of God's commandment that all the pedestrians of the narrow way should be put to work on the broad way. Indeed, it is repetitive. Sodom is everywhere. Jerusalem is everywhere. Egypt is everywhere. Only behind the clouds, and only in the spirits of people, there still is the hellish and the heavenly. But for a time, hell is dominating before the eyes. The sign is now changed into the opposite. Listen, it is evening. Ah, that day. Ah, that evening. I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of the house of bondage. That is the fact, and that fact remains effective in Christ. So truly effective is this, that it can do without all the showing of signs. Yet it is even able to turn it around. Thus it can say to the flesh, to the body, or outward man of the children of the Spirit, since I have brought your spirit out of the house of bondage, I will now allow your flesh to enter. Your spirit should hope for the redemption of your flesh, for all that is within you, after the evening has passed by and the new day has come. And blessed is he who will not be offended by the reversed sign, and will not stumble because of it. Little children, it is the last hour. The evening is coming slowly on. And since it soon will be evening, the commandment that one should believe God only on his word reveals daily a more severe face, though it remains evangelical.